Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. St. Mark chapter 1 and verse 17. Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Here we have Christ's personal call to obedience, Come after me. And we have Christ's personal provision for victory, I will make you. And we have Christ's personal commission for service, fishers of men. And this is followed by the wholehearted and costly and immediate and united response of those early disciples. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed Jesus. As I thought and prayed about the heavy responsibility of sharing with you the opening minutes of this great convention, it struck me that this verse was really at the heart of what we were seeking from God. For surely our aim is to meet with Jesus, to be blessed by Jesus, to be empowered by Jesus, and to be commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ for his service. And I've taken, therefore, as the title of this address, The Magnet of Keswick. The Magnet of Keswick. Why have we come such a long way to this wonderful place for this purpose? What magnet has drawn thousands of Christians to this little lakeland town of Keswick? Not the speakers, they know their own weakness. Not just the crowds, not just the beauty, though it is a wonderful place. Not even the weather. I noticed that half of you have been here before and you have smiled. The other half of you who haven't have looked anxious at this point and wondered why the other half have laughed. Well, for those of you who have never been to Keswick before, there is a mountain here called Skiddaw. When you can't see it, then it's raining. And when you can see it, it's going to rain. Once you've got that fixed firmly in your mind, you've got the weather organized. But of course the magnet that draws us to Keswick isn't all those things. It is the fact that by God's grace, men and women, young and old, have met with Jesus here. The invitation to the first convention in 1875 said this in its letter. We implore all who are interested in the welfare of the Church of Christ and in the advancement of practical holiness to unite with us in earnest prayer for the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the arrangements of these meetings and for his blessing on the teaching and the testimony of God's servants. These two factors, the welfare of Christ's church and the advancement of practical holiness and their interdependence, are as important today as when in the 1908 convention, the 34th of the series, those same words were quoted again in the invitation to that convention. And to it in the letter of introduction was added these words from the Bampton lectures of that year. The startling contrast between the lives of Christians and the rules which they profess to accept is the great religious difficulty of the present day. And so we do not come to Keswick just to receive comfort but to find cleansing in the blood of Jesus. Not just to meet with our friends, but to be alone with God. Not only to be thrilled with the joy of the Lord, but to discover the meaning of the cross of Christ for holiness and power, as well as pardon and relationship with God. Not just to enjoy the meetings, but in them to hear God's holy word open to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. We do not merely want a selfish release from sinful habits that inconvenience us, though to God be the glory that in this place men and women have found release from their sins, but we desire to find a positive and a practical and a biblical holiness of which our founders spoke when in faith they pointed us to trust in Jesus, who can go on cleansing us from our sins and reminding us that when in surrender we ask Christ to possess us fully by his Holy Spirit, he will fill our hearts and lives. And on the opening night of the 1911 convention, in the year of the coronation of King George V, that aged and respected Keswick leader, the Reverend Evan Hopkins, whose name is always linked with this convention, wrote this and said this on the opening night. The first thing is to see whether we are right with God. We must submit by surrendering the will, the heart, and the life to Christ. Then we must commit by trusting to Christ what you yourself have failed to manage, to submit to Christ and to commit to Christ what you yourself have failed to manage. As in earlier times, so today, the emphasis on personal holiness needs to be shown not as an exotic bloom to be grown in the greenhouses of sheltered Christians, but as the hardy perennial that should be the common flower in the garden of every workaday Christian, wherever he should find himself. Spiritual anemia must be recognized as such, to change the metaphor, and dealt with by letting the Savior take control. Just as all one in Christ Jesus is our visible and uniting motto, so get right with God is our invisible and our continuing and our united need, for the ground is level at Calvary. We are all sinners, speakers and hearers alike, but through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus upon the cross of Calvary at a moment in history, we can all be forgiven sinners, and by the living and indwelling Comforter and Spirit, we can all be victorious as well as forgiven sinners. Let us therefore come seriously to this year's convention, willing to let God have his way with me. And I use the personal pronoun, and I use the singular pronoun, because I believe that as we look at this vast tent tonight, and as in the coming days of the convention, with greater numbers still, through the landlines and later through tape recordings, we should not think of ourselves as a great army, but we should think ourselves as one person in God's sight. For the individual is infinitely precious to him for salvation, for call, for equipment, and for service, and that therefore ultimately the success or failure of the convention 1962 depends upon what happens between you and Jesus. Get right with him and be serious in your drawing near to him. Hear then his call, come unto me. Come after me, and I will make you. This convention is your opportunity of meeting with Jesus in a new way, and our ghostly enemy, Satan, the devil, who loves to hide behind silly caricatures, or behind anonymity, or behind disbelief, and who is yet the enemy of our souls. Satan will suggest to you all sorts of reasons why you should not be serious in your search for God in this convention. You will notice mannerisms of speakers. You will find criticism of the messages. You will find yourself with complaints of overcrowding. You will find yourself joining in light-hearted jokes about externals. Many of these things which can rob you personally of the main purpose, which is to meet with Jesus in a new way. Every convention, and this convention is no exception, is a crisis. Come to it, and so come to Christ with no reserves, with no delay, with no compromise, with no half measures. Make time to be quiet and to meet with him. He has a personal call of obedience for you, and this must always precede his gift of victory. Act on that great scripture of 2 Corinthians 5:11, translated in the New English Bible, to God our lives lie open. Have no excuses. Hide nothing from him. To God our lives lie open. And this week, you will draw nearer to him. Or if you hold to your sin and your selfishness, you will move further away from him. He can only remake what is already in his hands. Come ye after me, and I will make you, he says. It has been the experience of countless Christians at Keswick that hearing Christ's personal call to obedience and experiencing Christ's personal provision for victory has opened up the way to receive Christ's personal commission for service. We are not here just to receive comfort for our souls, although the convention often becomes days of heaven upon earth for all who come here, and that for tired and lonely Christians coming from difficult tasks, coming from the distant mission field, or coming from a hard, difficult situation in home and work and church in your own local area here in England. And yet, we aren't here just to receive comfort, but we are here that we may receive from Christ, that we may give to him. This week I went to collect a young man who was not well from Guy's Hospital, after he'd had treatment there, and I saw in the entrance of the great new building of Guy's Hospital in London, New Guy's House, the motto of the hospital in a great mosaic on the wall, Dare Quam Accipere, to give rather than to receive. This is not only the motto of a great hospital and a great work amongst sick people, it should be the motto of the humblest and youngest Christian. We are not only to receive, but we are to give. And so our founding fathers of this convention wrote these words: we implore all who are interested in the welfare of the Church of Christ to come to Keswick. The welfare of the Church of Christ. God wants to bless us, that he may use us to win others for himself. He works today in his world through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, and through the Church of God. And his powerful Word is unchanging, and his Spirit is as mighty as on the day of Pentecost. But his Church needs reviving by his Spirit and reforming by his Word. And each one of its members needs to be a man of God, perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. At the very heart of the First World War, in the year 1916, Bishop Handley Mole, preaching at St. John's, Keswick, during the convention, on Romans 9:4, that he might be Lord, said this: "There is a deep and growing longing that Christians should realize that they exist in their salvation not for themselves, but that they may do something for their Lord, for the blessing of others. The church should shake itself from the selfishness of religion and step into its glory of service, and above all, of a service that shall win souls and lives to others to an allegiance to God in Christ. We shall never be much of witnesses until it is absolutely settled between us and him that he is Lord." As my Uncle Frederick, who was called home to Christ a month or two ago, said recently, "A lukewarm church can never convert a lawless world. But when God the Holy Spirit revives a church, and when the Word of God becomes embedded in the heart and life and teaching and planning of a church, why then God has a weapon forged in his hand for world evangelism. And every branch of Christ's church today needs many more mature Christians knowing God's word, preaching Christ's cross, experiencing the fullness of God the Holy Spirit, eager to win boys and girls and older folk for the Saviour, and willing to be made fishers of men. In addition to mature church members in secular employment, there is Christ's special call to the distinctive ministry of leadership in his church, both at home and abroad." I wonder whether this year's convention, in the solitude and the quietness of these hills and lakes, may mean a new call for you. When Jesus said, "Come ye after me," he had just come from a similar experience of lonely waiting upon God. For after his baptism and his public commission by the Father, we read in Mark 1:12 in this same chapter, "Immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." Last year I walked in that wilderness near the traditional site of John's baptism of the Lord in Jordan, hot by day, cold by night, yet beautiful and majestic at all times, stands the traditional hill of temptation. And here in the wilderness for 40 days, sustained by the word of God, which he must have hidden, no doubt, in his heart from his childhood days, he sought the priorities and the principles of his coming ministry. The victories in the wilderness temptations prepared the Lord Jesus, humanly speaking, for the greater testings in the Garden of Gethsemane: self-control, self-effacement, the conquest of self-pity, the temptation to use wrong methods for good ends, the supreme call to worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. All these were learnt in the hills of the wilderness country above Jericho. Is God calling you for the good of your soul, for the benefit of Christ's church, and for the glory of his mighty and saving name, to spend just such a Lenten fast in the hills around Keswick this week, to hear his call to repentance, to faith, to surrender, to obedience, to experience afresh the cleansing of his precious blood and the filling of his Holy Spirit, and to settle once and for all your priorities in life, your practice of Christian discipleship, and your principles of Christian service. as this week unfolds, be absolutely open with Christ. Spend much time alone with Him and with your Bible in your hand, listening quietly and trustingly to Him. Above all else in this week, meet with Jesus. Meet with Jesus. He wants to have His way with you. In the words of one of our great Keswick hymns, God holds the key of all unknown, the hymn which was of the greatest personal strength to me when I was a young curate just ordained. These words, the very dimness of my sight makes me secure, for groping in my misty way, I feel His hand. I hear Him say, my help is sure. And as at another lakeside, after another experience on the hillside, may you hear Him plainly say, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Before this week is over, may many Christians hear, and those who listen across the country by the landlines and later by tape recordings may be, join with us in following the early apostolic example of straightway forsaking all and following Him. What is this magnet of Keswick? It is none other than the magnet of Jesus Christ Himself. Let Him therefore draw you fully to Himself. Cleanse you deeply by His precious blood. Possess you wholly by His mighty Spirit. Equip you thoroughly through His life-giving word, and commission you with the mighty ordination of the pierced hands to come after Him and forsake all and follow Him whenever and wherever He leads. Let us be quiet in His presence.